came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Can y'all hear me okay? I'm going to have to move around a little bit. But, Center Friend, if you're here and in the sound of my voice, the Lord gave me a thought here a while back. The thought is, when I get there, when I get to heaven, but I don't think that I can tell you about when I get to heaven without first explaining to you what I had to do in order to get there. I was just like Nicodemus. I didn't understand. A lot of people say, well, I was lucky that I was raised in the Baptist way. Well, I was not. I don't guess I'd been to church 10 times in my life. And my wife asked me to go to a revival with her at Pleasant Hill. And the only reason that I went, I knew that she'd probably be upset with me if I didn't go. So I thought, well, I'll go a couple of nights, and then while she's at the revival, I'll go do what I want to do. But it didn't work out that way. I went and I heard the people testifying and shouting and telling what the Lord had done for them and how that He had saved their soul. And I was just like Nicodemus right here. I didn't understand. I didn't know what to expect, but I did know that I didn't have what those people had. And I wanted it. And so that convicting power set up in my heart, and I had trouble and sorrow. In the 116th Psalm, some people say it's not David, some say it is. It don't matter who the writer was, but that man was seeking the Lord, and he said, I had trouble and sorrow set up in my heart, and said, friend, that's what happened to me. And I thought, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think when the Lord saved me. But I also thought, well, if He's able to set this conviction up in my heart, then He should be able to let me know when He saved my soul. And I got up on that Sunday morning, and I didn't know that I could go to the altar anytime that I wanted to. And we went to church, and those preachers a whole week, they had preached about hell. And I knew that I didn't want to go to hell. And I thought, boy, I just wish that preacher would quit preaching so I could go up there to that altar. And I come right here on the corner of the altar at Pleasant Hill. And I poured my heart out. Lord, I don't have anything to offer. You can't offer the Lord anything because everything is His to start with. And I thought, Lord, I'm just a poor sinner man that don't have anything. I'm sure that the clothes I had on wasn't the best in the world. And I'm sure that those shoes that I was wearing. I'd probably been ashamed of them if anybody had seen them, because they probably had holes in them. But you got to understand, me and June had just started out in our marriage, and we didn't have a lot. But what we had, we appreciated. But I poured my heart out, and I thought, you can't barter with the Lord, because He already had everything. And so I just poured my heart out to the Lord and said, Lord, just please take this away in my heart. I don't believe a loved man can live very long under conviction. I don't believe the physical body can handle it. And after he gets saved, I don't believe that he can live in the spirit very long. I just don't believe we're built to handle it. But the Lord, He lets us get just a feel every once in a while of what the heaven is going to be like.
Amen.
When He lets that spirit build up in our heart and in our soul, and we rejoice, that's just a little foretaste of what we're going to have when we get to heaven.
Amen.
I don't know what to tell you about heaven, because I've never been there. I don't know what to think it's going to be like, but I can tell you one thing. It's going to be wonderful.
Amen.
If y'all will turn with me to Luke, the 16th chapter, 19th verse. I don't know where I'll stop, but you might say, well, how are you going to get to heaven? Well, it tells about a rich man here and Lazarus. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linens and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels. Brothers and sisters, when we die, these old bars of bones is going to separate, and that soul is going to take a flight. We're going to fly over the rainbow and farther than that, and the angels is going to be carried. It also says that the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. I'm sure that this man had been warned down through his life to seek the Lord. But you know, we talked about riches in Sunday school this morning. And you know, when you got a lot of worldly things and you're rich, it's hard to be humble. I'm not going to say that just because you're rich can't be saved, because you can't. But it's hard to get into shape to be saved. But the Bible says that he lifted up his eyes in hell, and I'm sure he'd been warned many times to seek the Lord. And people that likes to argue the Bible, they might say, well, if Lazarus was saved, why did he get in such a shape that he got in? We don't know what kind of shape that we're going to be in when it comes time to die. That's the reason it's so important while you've got your mind and can physically seek the Lord, to seek the Lord and be saved while you have the time and the opportunity.
Amen.
We don't know. I got a brother that's sitting up there in his house right now that don't have mind enough to even get up and do anything for himself. He was 73 years old. He'd never been sick a day in his life. And he got up one morning and he had a massive aneurysm. And since that time, his life has been just terrible.
He don't even know. He can't even carry on a normal conversation. And if he's never been saved, he probably don't have mind enough about it now to be saved. And it breaks my heart to think about it. But that's the way it is. Get saved while you have the time and the opportunity. Sure, Lazarus was sick, but he was only sick for a season. The rich man is in hell for an eternity.
I told you my subject was when I get there. I know one thing. When I get there, my faith is going to end in sight. When I see Jesus, you know, people dread death. But if you've truly been saved, that's going to be the best day of your life. That's going to be the day that you meet the Lord. My faith is going to end when I lay eyes on Jesus Christ. And I'm going to spend a long time just thanking Him for what He does for me. And then after that, I don't know. You know, in the 14th chapter of the book of John, if you'll turn with me over there, first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also on me. That's Jesus Christ doing the talking. Believe on me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, when Jesus Christ told Peter that he's going to have to leave, Peter wanted to go with him. He said, Lord, I'll lay down my life right now just to go with you. But the Lord said, no, I go to prepare a place for you. It says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I don't know what this is going to consist of, but I do know that if Jesus Christ said it, it's so. You know, Jesus was standing at the temple, and he said, you destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. So I don't know if he's talking about this body being a mansion, being a temple, or if it's a temple, if it's a mansion. But it don't make no difference. As long as it's in heaven, you won't be able to find anything wrong with it. You know, in the 21st verse of Revelations, it talks about what's not going to be in heaven, and it talks about what is. You know, there's not going to be no pain. There's not going to be any time up there. There's not going to be any suffering. There's not going to be any sickness. There's not going to be any lame. There's not going to be any death. We go to Walmart, and I see people that's a few years older than I am, and their bodies is all twisted up, and they're walking around with canes, and they're on these hover-rounds, and I think, boy, is that what I've got to look forward to? A few more years being crippled up like that, you know, like I get back to what I said a while ago. We don't know what's going to happen to us. We don't know what kind of shape our mind's going to be in. We don't know what kind of shape our bodies is going to be in. But I'm going to tell you that you ain't going to see none of that in heaven. You ain't going to see nobody walk around crippled. You ain't going to see nobody sick. You ain't going to see no babies up there. For if a baby's up there, somebody has to take care of it.
You know, I've heard people say if an infant dies, and they say, well, they're going to be an angel. They're degrading that child. You know, the angels was created to serve us. You know, there's not going to be no babies in heaven. I think that we're going to have a body just likened to Jesus Christ in His prime. All of us. There's not going to be no jealousy out there. There's not going to be no sorrow. Send a friend, if you don't get saved, your family's not going to miss you when they get to heaven. Because if they did, there would be sorrow in heaven, and there's not going to be any sorrow in heaven. So, just get that out of your mind.
People says, well, I want to go see my mama and my daddy, my brothers and my sisters and people I went to church with.
I don't know if we're going to know them. I don't know if I'm going to know Gene as my wife. You know, but then it'd be favoritism, wouldn't it? I'd favor her over everybody else. But I believe in heaven we're all going to be just alike. Sometimes you just want to go, don't you? Every time I try to study this, I'd rejoice and I'd have to start all over again where I was at, just thinking about it. But let me tell you what is going to be there. There's going to be a river of life that flows from the throne of God. The street's going to be pure gold. Brother Mike, you know, we talked about the root of all evil and how people kill people. And everything, we're going to be walking around on what people are killing people for down here. The walls are going to be jasper. And there's going to be a reunion up there like you ain't never seen. We'll have reunions down here. There might be 30 or 40. It just depends on how big your family is, how many friends you have come in. But there's going to be a reunion in heaven, and there's going to be millions there. Millions is going to be there. You think sometimes we're alone down here? You just get that out of your mind, because we're not. There is saved people all over this world, and they're going to be there. And when we get there, I don't know if we're going to have a language or not, but if we do, it's going to be where we can all understand it. I got good friends over in Allen County. They're Mennonites. And I go over there and they'll get to talking that Pennsylvania Dutch and I don't understand a word of it. And I'll say, now listen, y'all might be cussing me and I don't even know it. So you talk where I can understand you. And they just laugh and make fun and walk off. But in heaven, if we're going to have a language, it's going to be to where we can all understand. But you know the best part? The sun is not going to shine up there because Jesus Christ is the light. And we're just going to get to glorify Him. You know, we sing Amazing Grace and there it has 10,000 years. We've never experienced 10,000 years here in this world. You know, I feel like it's only been standing for 6,000 years. But for 10,000 years, we sat there and talked to Jesus, and then we're going to sit there another 10,000, we'll sit there another 10,000. Ain't that something to think about? You know, all the worry that we have in this world. See, I'm retired and I don't have to get out in the wintertime when the weather's bad, but my family does. So I still have the worry. The Lord will have to protect me, keep it safe. But up there, there ain't going to be no winter. There ain't going to be no summer. There ain't going to be no hot weather. There ain't going to be no cold weather. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to end with this. Everything in heaven, it's going to be just right. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but like I said, I ain't ever been there. But I'm going there one of these days. I don't know when the Lord will decide to call me out of here, and it don't make no difference, because I've been saved by His grace. And Joe, that's what we want you to have. And the only way that you can get it is just forsaking mama, daddy, brother, sister, children, home. Turn it all over to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am, and I have nothing to offer you. I'm just a poor lost sinner. I went down on that altar, a poor lost sinner. And I came up a rich sinner. But that's all right. Because I've been saved by the grace of God. And that's the most important thing that you can ever do while you live here on this earth, is to be saved by the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how long I stood, and I don't care how long I stand. I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And when He gets done with me, I'm smart enough not to stand here and mess it up. So I'm going to close this service, close my sermon. And like I said, I don't know how to conduct a service. So if anything or anybody's got anything on their heart.